Let's begin, Rabbi Yisrael. Try to explain a number of the things which surround Megillas Esther, the reading of Megillas Esther. The Mishnah Sefton Megillah says, Hakol Chayovim B'Mikra Megillah. Hakol is usually taken to add a dimension, that's by everyone. That's not telling me everyone, that means someone that's less than obvious. And I'm coming to tell you that that person is also included. Hakol K'sherim Likra is a Megillah. L'Yisuye Mai. So the Gemara says, what is it adding? I call Chayovim B'Kriyas HaMegillah. The Gemara says, Lisuye Noshim. Tell me that women are also Mechuyev in Kriyas HaMegillah. Chud Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and this is in accordance with the very well-known Maimer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovim is B'Mikra Megillah. Women are Mechuyev in Mikra Megillah. Now, normally we would imagine they should be exempt because it's a mitzvah says Eisha as Mangrom, that's a specific term. Sha'afhein hoyu b'oisei hanes. Because they were also included in the Nes of Purim. And Tosfos in general throughout Shas learns that means they also were endangered. When it says Afin Hoyubo Sanes, that they also were endangered by the same issue as the men, and therefore when there was a Hatzola, they were also Mechuyev to celebrate and to give a door to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rashi says La Suye Noshim Shechayov is B'Mikra Megillah. Now Rashi learns when the Gemara said La Yisuye, it says Hakol Chayov B'Mikra Megillah, Hakol K'sherim Likra, it says Megillah. So Rashi learns that Hakol, which is Marben Oshim, goes on both. They could in fact read for males, because they share the chiyuv equally with males. This is Rashi's view. And Tosis quotes Rashi, and it says, Avo Bahag de Bal Halochas Gedolos Laposa Kochi. Omavian Rayman of Tosefta with the Lishan or Kochayovim Bemikro Megillah. It says Tumtum, Vadroigan is Chayovim. And yet, Ben Mutsi and Arabim Yudei Chalvosim, but they can't be Mutsi others. Androigan is Mutsi Mino, Ben Mutsi is Sheino Mino. So, one other, because every Androigan is says the same thing. Tumtum, Ben Mutsi, Lois Mino, Lois Sheino Mino. So that would imply, what's the problem of a tumdum? A tumdum means that, you know, and unfortunately we have such things today, whatever, Rav Linda or the Tasha Dayan has to deal with them. That there are people whose sexuality by organic, in terms of their external organs, is not clearly defined. And therefore, we don't know, is this that one could be a zoch, one could be in a keva. So, consequently, is an emotzi lowest mina below a sheino mina. So that implies now he could either be a male or a female. So if a female can be motzi a male, so why can't a tumtum be motzi every other tumtum and anybody else in the world? The worst it could be is a female. And a female, according to Rashi, could be motzi males. So what's the problem with a tumtum? Then it says, are exempt from Kriyas Megillah. That's the way it ends. At kan loshen otosefta. V'halochos gedolos hosifu added, it says they're exempt from Kriyas Megillah. Ela shechayovim b'shmiya lafi shakol hoyu b'sofik l'hashmid l'arug l'abit. So it says, in the Tosefta, there are really two indications that women are cannot be moitzi men. One, it says a tumtum cannot be moitzi neither a tumtum nor a non-tumtum. Now, what's the problem? Why can't it be moitzi a non-tumtum, a male? And then at the end, it says, Noshem avodah mikdana b'turim b'kriyas megillah. They are exempt from kriyas hamegillah. So the halachas gedolos adds to make it, I guess, fit in with Shas. Our Shas says that women are mechuyu. So the halachas gedolos tells us that the shechayovim b'shmiya, they have to hear the Megillah. So this is reflected in the Megillah. If a woman is the only one that's being yotzi with the Megillah, she makes the bracha. She makes a bracha of the shmaya mikra Megillah, because that's our chiyuv, is to hear mikra Megillah, not to do kriyas Megillah. Now, the shaila is, what exactly this means? What does it mean? Is a chiyuv the shmoa, not a chiyuv to read? Why is a man any different? If she's yaitzi the chiyuv with listening, why don't I just go to shul and I'll also listen? So we need to take a step back. Kriyas HaMegillah, in a certain regard, is the quintessential kriya throughout the year of all the kriyas. Why? As Naran explains in Masechta Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah is an obligation of the tzibur, not of the individual. Kriyas HaMegillah is a chiyuv of each yochid. So there's a major, major difference between the two. In other words, each yochid in his own right, even in the absence of tzibur, is mechuyuv. It's not mechuyuv because of the tzibur, it's not incumbent upon the tzibur. We sometimes do the Megillah, or we tend to do it barabim. Sometimes we're obligated according to the din of the Gemara, by the Lachachila, by the Yevid, that's a Shail in the Rishonim, in the first parak in Megillah. It says that when you read it, Shalom Bismano, there may be a chiyuv, according to some of the Amoroyim, to read it with tzibur. So is that Ma'akib? Is that a mitzvah Lachachila? There's different ways to Rishonim read the Gemara. But that's the pshat, that each one of us is doing our chiyuv, except we do it in a public setting because of Pesum and Nisa. But it's qualitatively different than Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is a collective entity of the tzibur doing it. The yochid, is in and of himself, has no chiyuv at all. So we know throughout the year there's a din of Kriyas HaTorah. The quintessential chiyuv of reading comes out as Kriyas HaMegillah. That's the quintessential chiyuv, even more so than Kriyas HaTorah. So we could suggest the following, that we read from the Torah. For what reason? Because it's enough to read the Torah, but Rabbi. We also read from the Nevi'im. We read from the Nevi'im Barab. And according to some, in fact, according to, I think, the Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, by Mincha, he used to read from Ksuvim. So there was a Kriya from Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Barab, every Shabbos. Now that's an Inyan of Kriya. Now, there's also an Inyan, which is unique to this Kriya, of Persumenisa. That it's qualitatively different than every other kriya. Every kriya we come to, it's a mitzvah to hear the Torah being read. It's nothing to do with Pesumei Nisa. We have an annual cycle, we hear the entire Torah in the course of a year. But that's the mitzvah. Here, besides, it's not only to hear the laning, it's the Pirsum Hanes. Ra'al to be mefarsim minas. That's another aspect to this kriya. Mameila. We could suggest that perhaps that's what the halachas gedolos means. That in kriyas ha-megillah, there's a din of kriya b'kisvei ha-kodesh, no different than reading the kriyas ha-torah on Shabbos. And then there's a second din, and that second din is of presumei nisa. Now it's questionable if women are actually mechuyev in the kriyas ha-torah or not. The Magen Avraham has two terutzim, one terutz he holds the mechuyev, one terutz he holds the not mechuyev. We'll assume that they're not mechuyev in kriyas ha-torah for the moment. So then the Bahag would be saying the following: that there's a mitzvah to read just the Megillah, just as there's a mitzvah to read the Torah. There's a mitzvah to listen to the Megillah, because ultimately it serves a purpose of persumei nisa, to relate the story of the Megillah. Women do not have the chiyuv of kriya. They're not mechuyev in kriya satoru, and they're not mechuyev in kriya samagillah, in terms of reading kisvei HaKadosh. But they are mechuyev to hear the story of the Megillah for persumei nisa. But they don't have to be the ones to read it. So perhaps that's what he's suggesting, the Bahag, that there are two dinim here. There's a dinner of kriya, which parallels all kisvei HaKadosh, like kriya satoru on Shabbos, and that women are exempt from. And then there's a din that they have to hear the Megillah to be mefarsim minas. Men are mechuyev, and especially mechuyev in kriyas ha-Megillah, even more so than they are in kriyas ha-Torah. So perhaps that's what he's suggesting. Now, what we come to then is that there are two aspects to kriyas ha-Megillah. There's a din kriya, which parallels all kisvei HaKadosh, and there's also the din of persumei nisa, which is strikingly different than reading in all the kriyas ha-Torah, all the other kriyas we have in the year. Now, it's rather interesting. At the end of the Megillah, we have a brocha that we make. Harov et Sreveinu, Adon es Dineinu, Anokim es Nikpaseinu. Why do we have a brocha at the end? For what reason? Now, don't say that every time we do a persumei nisa, we have a brocha at the end. V'horayah l'kach. By Neres Chanukah, there's a brocha, and that's it. We don't have a brocha. There's one brocha before you light. We don't have another brocha afterwards. So what happens that by Kriyas HaMegillah, we have another brocha at the end? For what reason? So I think that the reason is the following. In Haneiros Halolu, of all the halachas we could have chosen in Hilchos Chanukah, we state the following. One halacha, it says, Haneiros Halolu Kodeshim, Venron Lushus Tamesh Bahem, the Roysim Bulvat. So, of all the halachas in Hilchos Chanukah, why did they choose this one halacha? There's many halachas in Hilchos Chanukah, and you have to light, where you have to light, how you have to light, how many you have to light. From out from the Gan Tzilchus Chanukah, they picked one halacha. And there is a lot of kodesh, and there is just lishtamish b'emel l'roisa b'lvat. Maza. The answer is that the Neiros Chanukah are clearly being done for persumei nisa, for not for any other purpose. They're not done for a secular purpose, because ain't l'on rishus lishtamish b'em, we're not allowed to use them. So when do you light a light in your house and then you go away and you don't use it? Light a candle, you put the lights on as to use them. You don't just put the lights on and then put on a blindfold and sit there under the lights. Now, there would also be no reason, especially in the weeknights of Hanukkah, what other reason would there be to light the Neiros Hanukkah? You know, sometimes we light on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so there we need the halacha and none of the... It was just the shtamish perhaps. The Erev Shabbos we use, the Erev Yontif we use, and the Erev Chanukah we don't. But the truth is, all the weekdays, I don't even think we need that much. like Mehecha Tesi, to believe otherwise. What else are we lighting for? Neiros not to use. Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have Neiros to use. But what are we lighting Neiros on Tuesday night in the middle of the weekday for? And we're not using them. Our koponim certainly because of the fact that we're not using them, it's apparent that it's being done for Pesumanis, so there's no other reason. By when we finish the Megillah, so we need to ask ourselves, what do we do? Is this, you know, we have 53 parshiyos we read a year, and then we also have the Megillah that we read. So we read all the Megillahs, we read Shira, we read Kahal, according to the Goyin, you make a broch on those Megillahs too. A Mikra Megillah. So, Maze Oimer, what this is about. So, Elamai, we made a broch at the beginning of Shos HaNisim, which suggests the fact that this is being done for Pursum HaNisim. But apparently they wanted to put across this message again at the end. So he says, what's the Megillah about? It's not Stam that we read a Sefer in Tanakh. But a Robas Rivenu, Bas Domas Dinenu, Anoikim Istik Basenu. That's what this is about. To underscore, to celebrate what we read, why we read the Megillah. In Hanukkah, we don't have such a need. Because once we're not using it, then it's clear cut. Ain't none of there can't be any other reason. So there's an Indian, apparently on Purim, more so than on Hanukkah, to underscore why we're doing what we're doing. The Kriya Samagila is not as inherently clear cut as the lighting of the Neiros Hanukkah. We have Kriyas HaTorah, we have Kriyas HaMegillah, we also have Shmiyas HaMegillah, not only Kriyas HaMegillah, but then of Shmiyas HaMegillah. And then the Chayr, because of the fact that there are both of these dinim, is the din Kriya and the din Shmiya, we added an extra broch at the end to underscore that this is Pursum HaNisa. Now what's interesting, on Hanukkah, Chazal did not insist upon a bracha. Minag Yisrael, we added HaNeros HaLolo, we spelled it out. We spelled it out, we clarified it with HaNeros HaLolo, which served the same purpose as a Robes Rebeinu. But Me'ikra the dinner, there wasn't a need for that bracha, because that's the fact, that we're in HaNeros HaShtamash Pahem. So with clear cut, that this is being done the shame pursue Meniso and not for any other purpose. So Purim is in Hanukkah emphasized the pursue Meniso Shabbat. Now, that perhaps also explains. We have all types of opinions in the Gemara of how much of the Megillah we have to read. How much of the Megillah we have to read. Some say, you don't need the beginning. Who needs the beginning? Ish Yehudi Hoya Meshushan Avira. It's enough. We don't need the beginning. Rameya said you have to read all the way from the beginning. All types of days, how much of the Megillah you have to read. And the halacha remained that we read the entire Megillah. And I think the reason for that is that kol zman we don't read from the beginning, we don't appreciate the full sweep of the Nes. If we'd start from Ish Yehudi Hayo B'Shushan Abir, so what did we leave out? We left out the circumstances which caused the rise of Haman. That we were chaitim, we sinned. Now part of the Shevach for HaTovas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the good that the Rabbeinu Shalom does, is to realize how he's meitiv to us despite the chet. Chazal, the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim the following, that kosher zivugon kolodim kriyas yamsuf, and kosher mezainoisov shalodim kriyas yamsuf. Getting married is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf, and earning a parnosa is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. So the shaila is, the whole world, this is not, we don't have to be machadish to kasha. What do we mean that something's kosher for the Rabbeinu Shalom? That's a very strange statement to make. The Rabbeinu Shalom said Bereishis Bara Elokim, and the world came into existence. And as the Mishnah says, V'alo b'may marechon yochol yivoros. He didn't need 10 mamorim. He did create it with 10 mamorim for his reasons. But b'may marechon, he could have made the whole world. So what's pshat kosher before the Rabbeinu Shalom? And the Rabbeinu Shalom made the yam. It's something's kosher about him to split the yam. To provide panosa, to provide a zibuk, it's kosher. For us, all of these things are kosher. But by the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's shaykh kosher. It's a Weltkasha. And Rav Yoshber Soloveitchik Zatzal quoted a Zohar in this regard that parallels these statements in the Gemara. And he says, what's kosher about all of these three things? If the Rabbeinu Shalom merely provided them for the righteous, for the tzaddikim in the world, it wouldn't be kosher. But if the Rabbeinu Shalom did that, the world would be a churban. So the Rabbeinu Shalom, he made Kriyas Yamsuf, even though Tla Yisrael slept through Pesel Micha. Right? The Pesel Micha was slept through the Yamsuf. So here you had a full, an Oivir Avodah Zarah, and the Rabbeinu Shalom made Kriyas Yamsuf for him too. The Rabbeinu Shalom gives Parnosa. That's true. But he gives panasa not only for the righteous. He gives for the Roshom of the world, he also gives panasa that they don't die. And kosher zivugam shalodam, the Rabbeinu Shalom allows the whole world to find the zivug. Puts them together. So Mamela, that's what's kosher by the Rabbeinu Shalom, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. Kosher is because the Midas Hadin doesn't want. And the Midas Hadin has a title. They don't deserve it. And the Rabbeinu Shalom was Kaivish the Din. And Barachimov takes care of the world. But the fact that he has to go away from the Din, and a Din which is correct, that's kosher by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Ramban wrote that Zechora Sherek Tzavte Mas Hashem Alokeichem Bamidbar. So he says, he's not sure what this is. It's a Pesach in Parshas Ekev. Does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was admonishing the Dor that went out of Mitzrayim, that focus on how you have angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then the purpose of it apparently would be to do tshuva. If a person realizes that you angered someone, so then you can stop to think, well, if I angered him, maybe I ought to make amends. So the first step in the process of tshuva is being makir chet. So zechora sherek tzavtem es Hashem Elokeichem b'midbar. Then the Ramban offers a second interpretation. No, it wasn't meant as a mitzvah for that dor. It's a mitzvah l'doros. So what's the pshat? What's the mitzvah l'doros that we should remember how we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the midbar? So So the Ramban says the Indian is that we should remember the Hatovah, the Toiv that the Rabbeinu Shalom did. Let's put the two side by side. Put on one side how we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the shenanigans we did in the Midbar, and then put on the other side all the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom did for us to sustain us. Now, we would owe a tremendous debt of gratitude if we were 100% in order in the Midbar. Thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for Bechastai. But now that we weren't in order, we were out of order. So we certainly have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for his chesed. I mean, his chesed is even much more enormous than we initially understood it. Yeah, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us mon. But when did he give us mon? We had an egel, and we had meraglim, we had adas koirach, we had a lot of nechash and nechoshes, all types of, you know, shade of parshias we had. And after all of that, the Rabbeinu Shalom still, you woke up in the morning. The morning after the egel, you went outside and there was mon. And the Eirush HaMiriam was there. You ate and you drank and life went on. So, that's why we have to start the Megillah from the beginning. What's the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom? The chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We rebelled against the Rabbeinu Shalom. We went there, Mesudas Achashverosh. We went to a place that the Rabbeinu Shalom absolutely and clearly did not want us to be. And the Rabbeinu Shalom was angry at us. We participated in Sudas Achashverosh, in the celebration of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. We participated. And after all of that, we were still Zeichot to HaTzolah. It's no small thing. It magnifies the greatness of the Netz to realize where we were at and where the Rabbeinu Shalom started working from. That it's a whole different perspective that we have to have on the Ness. So we read the Megillah all the way back from the beginning. Why? Because without that we don't understand the Ness properly. So, okay, it was a hum and came, he went, he left. And I think we're at a very unique point in history. There have been a few other such windows in history to understand the Ness of Purim. Unfortunately, you know, with a Dur that was born right after the greatest catastrophe in Jewish history. So we understand the fact that not every Haman doesn't succeed. Unfortunately, the Haman of our era succeeded. Baruch Hashem, not as much as he wanted, but very close. Very close. So when we look at it, it's far from axiomatic that Haman doesn't succeed. But we see the Haman of our era was unfortunately very successful. So we have a different and deeper appreciation of what the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom was. So we start to read then from the beginning of the Megillah. That's the only way that we could fully comprehend the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom did for us. And then there's another aspect of the chesed. At the same time that we're chaytum, we didn't do tshuva. Tshuva is not going to come till 9 years later, till Haman shows up on the scene. And we're up against it. And until then, we're quite sure that we're on the right path. In that moment, when we strayed after Sudas Achashverosh, and after Rabbeinu, we've aroused the Charan Af of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Rabbeinu Shalom do in the same time frame? He brings around the decision to kill Vashti. And who replaces Esther? So the Rabbeinu Shalom was makdim the refuah to the Makkah. He brought the solution before he brought the problem. But when did he bring the solution? But we were really not Roy. At the same time, the Rabbeinu Shalom, we acted in a fashion which brought forth the Midas Adin. We were never Mesud HaSachashersh. In that context, the Rabbeinu Shalom brings about Vashti's demise. and puts forward the process which will culminate in Esther being made the Malka, the queen. So when does the Rabbeinu Shalom concern for Klal Yisrael? Not when we're, if the Rabbeinu Shalom is saw when we're tzaddikim, that Ades Torah is going to come, we're not going to be such tzaddikim, so when the Schus one with tzaddikim repaired the refuah, Mameila. But here it was not that way. By the time the Rabbeinu Shalom prepared the refuah, we were already chaitim, serious chaitim, before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Ava Pika in the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom does for us is such that he starts the process of the Hatzolah. This is all in the part before we come to Yishtihudi Hayo B'Shushan Habira. And this is one of the themes of Parsha Zohar. It says that they attacked HaNechasholim Acharecha. So what does Nechasholim Acharecha mean? So Rashi says the ones that were chaserikayach, they were weak. And in what sense? He says they were, because they were chaitim, it's polted on them, on and threw them out. Right? The shaila is the following. In the Midbar, how could Amalek affect us? Right? The Rabbeinu Shalom sent the Amud Anan Yenmon, Amud Ish Loimon, right? And the Amud Anan was protective. It protected Klal Yisrael. We were running away from Mitzrayim. What did he do? He put the Amud Anan in between us and the Mitzrayim, and the Amud Ish in front of us to light up the path. But we were protected. Mitzrayim couldn't touch us. Why? Because the Amud Anan protected us. The Amud Anan protected us. So how did it wind up that Amalek was able to disturb someone in Klal Yisrael? Well, they could have come with the worst of intentions, but the Onan should have been an impenetrable barrier to them. Elamai, and Varashi says, what happened? Is Oysen Shapolton Onan. The Onan expelled them. Why did they get expelled? Because they were chaitim. So now what do we find? The Rabbeinu Shalom comes and says, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I have undying enmity for Amalek. Why? Not because they started up with the tzaddikim of their door. They didn't bother Moshe Rabbeinu. Couldn't come near Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the chaitim that were thrown out by the Onan, so they weren't left unprotected. So those chaitim are the ones that fell victim to Amalek. So what does the Rabbeinu Shalom say? That's what they did, is Timcha Zecher Amalek, wipe them off the map. So the Rabbeinu Shalom, the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom is such that not because they disturbed the righteous Jews. Amalek couldn't disturb the righteous Jews. The only ones that they could disturb were the ones that were not righteous. And therefore was pulled on honor. They were expelled from the honor. And because they assaulted them, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Muhammad Hashem Ba'amolek Midorodor. The sinful Jews. But before the Rabbeinu Shalom, it didn't change. Bonim Atem Lashem Alakech. The Bonim Nisnei Amokom. So this is but the beginning of the Megillah Saturdays also celebrates that we were chaitim and we went to Sudas Achashverosh and the Rabbeinu Shalom had good times to us. And Afal Pikein, not only are we going to wind up getting saved from this, but the refuah, the way by which he will save us, takes place, is brought into being at the very time we haven't thought about tshuva yet. It hasn't crossed our mind to do tshuva. We're so confident of the righteousness of our approach. What do we need tshuva for? So what did the Novi Yirmiya say? That I'm going to punish you extra. For what reason? Alamarecha loichatosi. That's the ultimate chet. Because once you claim loichatosi, there's nothing to do tshuva for.
So
Avo Pikain, that we were at that point, we held Leichatosi. The Rabbi Shalom still came and was Makdim, the Yeshua. And those that abused Klal Yisrael, the ones that the honor would not contain, the Rabbi Shalom says, have an undying enmity for them. The Kisei Hashem is not complete until they'll be removed from the world. Now, it's hard to know, and in my own mind, I'm not sure which was the greater aspect of the chesed. And I'll surprise you. Was the greater aspect of the chesed the Hatzalah from Haman or the Hatzalah from Achashverosh? Which was a greater aspect of the Hatzalah? In some regards, the Hatzalah from Achashverosh was even greater than the Hatzalah from Haman. Haman rose to power. The Rabbi Shalom engineered his downfall. Right? That within one day, the Melech senses he's trying to usurp power at his expense and ride around with the crown on his head in downtown Shushan. The king lets out his anger on him that he makes him march Mordechai around town. So that was a chaylik that he took the comma from him. He overstepped himself, so the king slapped him up, commercial kosher. And no sooner does he get home from that, by Avhudu Lahavi is Haman, the Shorsi HaMelech come and they schlep him away, and he goes to the second suit, and there he meets his doom. He rose quickly, came from obscurity, and he wound up on the very wrong side of the king. So the king wiped him off the map. So it's true. He was the one that instigated the trouble. He was willing to carry it out. But at the end of the day, he came and he went. List in his, you know, powerful position for such a long time. The king was there before Haman, the king is there after Haman, and the king is the son of Yisrael as much as Haman is. When the Gemara says, Akati Avdei Achashverosh Hanana, that's the reason we don't say Halom. It doesn't just mean in a minor sense, well, listen, we didn't exactly have sovereignty. You know, it's much more than that, that we didn't have sovereignty. But who was the one that was the sovereign? Asayna Yisrael through and through. Asayna Yisrael through and through. So I'm not sure which was the greater Hatzalah, from Haman or from Achashverosh. And we see that we needed Hatzalah, as we know, from Achashverosh too. We needed, after Haman was gone from the scene, Esther still had to go and cajole him to appoint, you know, Haman to Mordechai to take over base Haman and the Hoshev as a swarm and the right new swarm, etc. So that's a phenomenal aspect of the Chesed Hashem that we have to focus on. And that's maybe also brought into focus by the beginning of the Megillah. Because, so there we have at the beginning of the Megillah, we have the Chet of Klal Yisrael. We have the rise, the demise of Vashti, and the rise of Esther. And we have another thing. There we gain, is the one place that we really gain the clearest window into Achashverosh, into what he was about. You know, later, we could offer varied interpretations of what he did. And Haman came, he wanted something, you know, the Jews weren't exactly his friends anyhow, Haman wanted it. You know, a political decision, perhaps. The beginning of the Megillah tells us what a Sayyid Yisrael he was. But The whole party is to celebrate. That's it. He defeated, the Klal Yisrael is defeated. The Mikdash is destroyed. It's not going to be rebuilt. He controls 127 medinas. And was Gate the 111, what's he about? That the Mikdash is not going to be rebuilt. This is the biggest bash of his Malucha. That the Beis HaMikdash is not going to get rebuilt. But there's nothing else that happened in the entire planet that's important. Other than now, according to his Cheshbon, the 70 years passed, which he was again mistaken by. But this is the only important thing that happened. That's the only thing that we need to take note of. So we see also the truer dimension of the Nes of Purim from the beginning, from Machorit at the beginning of the Megillah. As we see, Ahasuerus b'mloy teikva, exactly what he was about. So then we start to realize who was this character lurking in the Megillah as the story unwinds. He's has no regard for Klal Yisrael, zero. And Aval Pekin, he's the one that puts Haman down. He raises up Mordechai. He makes Mordechai the prime minister. He keeps him in power. After the Nes of Purim, throughout the rest of his life. And who is this? And out now, son of Yisrael. It's a Pella. And sometimes in history, you see this Pella. I have a cousin, Oliver Shalom. His wife and my mother-in-law are first cousins. His name was Ramosha Zupnik. Came from Germany, and he went from Germany to Mir Yeshiva. And when Mir Yeshiva ran away from the Germans, and they went to Vilna, so he went with them, and he went the whole Mahalach through Shanghai. Had a very unique aspect of what he did. When the Japanese consul was willing to give visas to Mir Yeshiva, but there was a little bit of a problem. There was no staff sufficient to turn these visas out. It's very nice, you know, yeah, okay, we'll give you visas, but there was nobody to turn them out. He had a secretary, or an underling, in the embassy who was a German. And why was he posted there? He was posted there because the Germans were suspicious about what the Japanese were going to do in fighting the Russians, not fighting the Russians. So they wanted to keep very careful tabs from inside on what the Japanese were up to. So they took an SS officer, Yimach Shoeva Zichroi, and they sent him to work in they supplied him to work in the Japanese consulate. My cousin Moshe Zipnuk spoke German. So this SS guy, Yamach Shemoy Vizichro, he liked my cousin because he spoke to Mamalushin. So, not only did he like him, but they took him into the embassy. Imagine, a guy comes off the street, and you take him into the embassy, and they gave him a desk, and they sat him down there, and he said he'll help them write visas. And that's it. And he sat there for 2-3 weeks, and they'll write 2,500 visas. So who was the guy that he was sitting together with? He was sitting with an SS guy. And this is the guy that he worked hand in hand with, the issue of visas that got 2,500 people out of Europe. Our rabbi said, that's the story of Ahasuerus. It's the modern version of Ahasuerus. That's exactly the story with Ahasuerus. Let us keep it in focus. When Esther said, when he said, Miyu Zev Eizahu, so the Gemara says, her gut reaction was to point to him. Came the Malach and pushed a hand, that her hand shot towards Haman and not towards him. Just put that in perspective for a moment, the Ness. And that the beginning of the Megillah teaches us. A son of Yisrael that was committed to destroying Klal Yisrael. And he is the one that Lemaisa saved us. Through his offices. So when we talk about the Pursuma Nisa, the fact that we read from the beginning, there's so many aspects of the Megillah which come into focus when we look at the beginning of the Megillah, before Yeshihudi. was an entirely different perspective of the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom did. We sinned. And yet at that moment that was sinning, that's when he destroys Vashti, and he sets forth the process to bring Esther into power. And there, Soini Yisrael Achashverosh made this whole thing to celebrate the destruction of the Migdash, and to be Machshel Klal Yisrael, and immorality. This Soini Yisrael is the one that's going to save us. Save us from Haman, save us after Haman, all the way until Daryovish. Different perspective on what the message is. Terach Rabbi Yisrael.
Right
afterwards, right. About 4 or 5 years after.
That's Mordechai's son, right? Darius. Is that
Darius?
That's
Ahasuerus.
I wasn't.